Waltip to the Road Rage. We're back. Sam has apparently found our massive music library, and he is combining them in a rather unique order.
Oh, I'm just throwing darts at the wall.
Yes, you are.
There is no logic to what we're doing. She's got like 585 songs over here.
Because I keep adding them. This is what I do all the time. I'll call her and say, Ramona, add this song, add that song, add this song, and that's what we do. Now, generally, you know, so the whole library of songs are mine. Now, there are songs in there that were chosen for particular purposes. They weren't chosen for rejoins. They were chosen for, you know, whatever I was doing at the moment. But by and large, you know, they're all my music choices. She probably added some Led Zeppelin or Rolling Stones in there somewhere. But by and large, they're all my music choices. Then I turn it over to her, like on program day, with rare exception. You know, she'll ask me sometimes, but rare exception. And she generally, she has linked them in sort of these theme patterns, yep. which is what we usually do. Gabe Cock, Troll, says, totally appreciate your opinions. While it'd be easy to be a homer on team's flagship station, but you never have been that. You know, I got a bunch of Gamecock fans saying similar stuff. I appreciate that. I get this is just one dude, but, you know, it's just so ridiculous because, you know, look, the way you could make that argument is if I picked Clemson first last year. If I picked Clemson to play for a national title last year or the year before, you could make that argument. But since I didn't, and I was actually right about where I put them, maybe you should just sort of heed what I'm telling you, since I do have some sort of clue what I'm talking about the fact that Clemson's going to be really good. I heard David, who is a South Carolina fan, call in to Quack and Ben earlier. David hasn't been around in a while. But, you know, he was talking about how he doesn't think Clemson's going to be this, and, he's not sure about South Carolina either. And, I appreciate that, but, you know, it reverts back to this, well, you know, Clemson couldn't stop the run, and I'm just not sure that. Well, again, that's been solved. That's the whole point. That's been the whole point of the conversation since February. That stuff has been solved. You know, if you don't understand what happened last year, then you're going to have a hard time understanding what's likely to happen this year. So, you know, on the review element, last year, here's what happened. Clemson had one defensive end spot that was a black hole that they had nobody who could play. That's why I'm still not buying the defensive end depth argument until I see it, all right? I'm still more of the opinion that one key injury there could be a problem until I see it, you know, because I thought Lawson would be more impactful last year, and I'm hearing Lawson as the answer this year, and, you know, and Lawson at 261, I think it was 255 last year, whatever he was. You know, I have to see that because it was a black hole. You tried to move a 340-pound defensive tackle out there just to be able to set a hard edge. And there were people who were crazily saying that Peter Woods would have 10, 11 sacks from defensive end last year, which is utterly laughable. He doesn't have any defensive end pass rush arsenal. Okay, so that was never going to happen. He was playing out of position. He was taking one for the team. And he was also injured and then out of shape. But it was – so there was obviously an issue. And he was moved back inside. And that defensive end spot frequently just got washed away. Go back and look at the Texas game. You know, that old cliche about driving a truck through. Oh, trust me, you could have driven a bus through sideways in some of that situation because you had a whole side of your defense being washed away. Why was it being washed away? Well, because you had one defensive end spot that was a huge issue. You had an alleged star linebacker who was a runaround block guy who just constantly got washed away or took himself out of place. Sorry, that's the reality of it. And so that was a problem all year. Meanwhile, you had Peter Woods playing at 340 or whatever he got to by the South Carolina game, and you had Wade Woodhouse who was injured. So those were your reasons. Well, when Peter Woods has to play defensive end, it impacts two positions, and so there's that. Meanwhile, Parker's playing with migraines, etc. And it didn't really have a consistent year. For all of the claim he got, he didn't really have a consistent year. I think four of his sacks came against the third string tackle against Pittsburgh. And so I expect more out of all these guys. Peter Woods finally at 307, which I've been begging for forever, pleading for forever. So we're finally going to see Peter Woods at the weight he should be at, playing the way he should be. Parker's going to be a beast. And on the other side, Clemson brings in Will Held, hits the transfer portal, and you get a 6'6", 265-pound defensive end who at the very least can set a hard edge and is going to give you some pass rush factor off of that edge. Also, you have Capehart, you have Adams, you have great depth at defensive tackle all of a sudden. And so and you have linebackers now who are dudes. And Alexander's going to be a part in that as well. So and if you watched Clemson last year, their run fits, their gap integrity was an abomination. Part of it was coaching because Wes was never cut out for that role. And part of it was there were talent issues. There were player issues. Well, those things have been corrected. They've been corrected. And it's friggin' obvious they've been corrected. Now, again, could injuries change that? Yes. But Clemson's front four did not play well last year. They just didn't. That group is going to play a million times better this year. And Tom Allen is a master of gap integrity and run fits. And if you don't believe that, go watch the Boise State game against Ashton Gentee, where, yes, he had talent at Penn State. Yes, there's no question about it. But talent alone, if they play as Lone Rangers, doesn't contain a dude like Ashton Gentee, who's a freak of nature. No, if you watch that game, Ashton Gentee literally had nowhere to run. Nowhere. There was nowhere for him to bounce anything. There was nowhere. Every gap was filled. Every gap was closed. I mean, he made one 10-yard run in that game, Sam. It was one of the best 10-yard runs I've ever seen in my life.
He broke like seven tackles. Yeah. The fact that people were making fun of the stat line after the game, the fact that he had positive yardage in that game.
It was amazing.
Was amazing for him.
It's exactly right. And so, you know, when you look at that situation, I think that showed who Tom Allen is. And everywhere he's been, he's impacted defenses positively in year one. So I think Clemson's defense, which, again, got trucked all last season, I think the country club is closed. I think the days of trucking Clemson are gone. I think this defensive front this year is going to be nasty. I still am a little concerned about depth at defensive end and depth at linebacker. I don't want to incur any frontline injuries in those two positions, but that's part of football that you can't predict, and luck plays a role in who wins this thing every year. And as a part of luck, we have health. So yeah. All right, Sam, I want to jump back to Alabama for a second. By the way, Orange Bill says, "Walt, you nailed Clemson's outlook last year. Your preseason is exactly where they ended up." Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. Texas said, "What did you think about Dabo comparing Amari Adams directly to the greats he did? He doesn't do that often." Oh, I think Adams is a freak. I think everybody knows he's a freak. Trust me, there are players on this team who have seen him in practice every day who've been telling me that he's just been unbelievable. And we talked about that way back at his signing day. So, you know, look, he's going to play, and he's going to be a dude. So that just adds to the defensive tackle depth situation. That's a position that Clemson is very rich in. Frontline defensive talent. Look, I think Capehart is better than people think. I think when, you know, you're not going to be able to just worry about Peter Woods this year or just worry about Parker. You're going to have to block those guys fairly honestly up front. And Capehart is the guy that nobody talks about. And they probably should be talking about him. I think he'll be a factor without question. So I think when you consider Tom Allen, gap integrity, run fits, linebackers that are more physical, willing to take on blockers, all that stuff, and then a fixed defensive end position, and Peter Woods playing at the weight he should have been playing at all along, I think suddenly you have answers to everything. Now, I will grant you that we haven't seen it, but that's this job. You know, I don't get the luxury of waiting till I see things. That's why, you know, you people who listen to this show, you're often the first to learn and hear things, you know, and that's my job. You know, I'm up like 24 hours a day trying to figure this stuff out.
All
right.
All we can do is project right now. That's
what we're doing. And again, you know, the projections last year from here about Clemson were exactly right. And I think you're going to find that the ones this year are exactly right too. You know, look, I said this before, way back at the beginning of February, I didn't pick Clemson out of my hat. Okay. I didn't evaluate them in a vacuum. I evaluated them. You know, that's dumb. That's how you get in trouble. If you just evaluate the one team that you're looking at in a vacuum, I evaluated Clemson in comparison to everybody else. And everywhere else I looked, as I started saying then, I see bigger problems than I see for Clemson. Clemson has some issues, but not nearly as many issues as most of these other teams do. I mean, the coaches put Ohio State at 2. Ohio State has issues. They may not look like it. I mean, Listen, do they have an insane amount of talent in that program? Of course they do. Do they have enough talent to theoretically win a national title? Of course they do. But they also have a million holes from last year. You know, this is part of figuring out who's going to be good and who's not. You know, their offensive line is a bit of a mystery. Their running back room had Henderson and Judkins last year. You know, they don't have either of those guys. And we'll see what Peoples is. And they brought in C.J. Donaldson from West Virginia, who's a 240-pound hammer type, but he's 4 yards in a cloud of dust guy. They're not going to be any 50-yard runs from Donaldson, as there were from Henderson and or Judkins, particularly Henderson. So they don't have that. Their wide receiver room is obviously loaded. But again, you know, Sayin's going to be the quarterback. I mean, Ryan Day can say whatever he wants, but Sayin is going to be the quarterback. And we don't know what that looks like yet. You know, one of the things with Will Howard was his level of experience. That experience didn't come at Ohio State, but he still had a ton of college football playing experience. Julian Sayin has none. Not only that, but they basically lost their whole defensive front. They lost JTT and Jack Sawyer, and they brought in another guy who looks a little like that, but they also lost Williams on the inside, who was really their best defensive lineman last year, and being drafted in round one, as we thought he would be, proved that. So they lost all those guys, and I just think that's a lot of losses to just elevate them to number two and think that that's the way that's going to be. I just don't think it is. And so, you know, again, when I compared Clemson, who the coaches put six, to Ohio State, I think the advantage is obvious to Clemson. And so that's what I mean by not evaluating them in a vacuum. I compared Clemson to everybody else. And the only team at the time, the only team that I came up with that I thought was in a similar situation to Clemson was Penn State. Now, Texas added a couple pieces after that I think are going to make them better and put them in the mix, and that's why I have Texas third. And Texas is the other team I think most likely to win the national championship, and of course a lot of that depends on Arch Manning. And we'll see how that develops. I mean, his own family doesn't think he's going to win the Heisman Trophy, but you know, he's the Vegas favorite. So, you know, again, I didn't evaluate the Tigers in a vacuum. I evaluated them in comparison to everybody else. And that's how I came up with Clemson and Penn State. And I think we saw who Penn State was last year, and I think you're going to see a bigger dosage of that this year. I think it's going to be more of the same. And I think this is the year, finally, that Penn State actually goes to Ohio State and bully beats them down. I think that's what's going to happen. I think Penn State's going to win that game like 30-20 at Ohio State. And they may enter that game as an underdog, but I think it'll be established pretty early in that game who the actual underdog is going to be. And I get the people who don't like Franklin, but the reality is that he's built this whole program and team. They get better every year. That's what's happened. So you're sort of missing the boat with the Franklin hate. I mean, you go back a few years, was Penn State a legitimate national contender? No. Were they losing to Ohio State? Yeah, they weren't as good. So were they losing to some of the elite teams in the Big Ten? Yeah, when you're playing Ohio State and Michigan and you're not quite as good as them, yeah, you're probably going to lose to them. But that's changed now. I think they showed that last year, and I think they're back. And they're the biggest, baddest bullies on the college football planet right now. They have an offensive line that's clearly the best offensive line in America. They are big. They are nasty. They are tough. They are proven. They are deep. And they have two absolute war daddies running behind that line. Both of whom rushed for over 1,000 yards last year in Singleton and Allen. And those guys, at the end of last year, they were playing the best football of their career. And they were really unhappy about losing to Notre Dame. So these guys are coming back with a vengeance. And, you know, you want to look at them, even look at a game they lost. They lost that game at Oregon. They averaged 10 yards a carry against Oregon. And I think that speaks to who they are and what they're capable of. And now, you know, whatever you think of Drew Allar, for the first time, Sam, since Drew Allar has been at Penn State, he's actually going to have wide receivers. And I think that's a game changer. I think having Pena and Ross in particular, Hudson's going to give them some blocking, some other elements. But particularly having Pena and Ross gives you two more explosive guys in the receiving core that the team has lacked. You add those pieces to the brutality of that running game and the fact that Allar is actually a pretty good athlete himself and makes some plays with his legs. I think you got a problem stopping that team. Now, they've already experienced one pretty significant injury in Max Granville, who, you know, I think they were thinking is like the next Abdul Carter type. He's gone for the year. So that'll be an issue. Tech said, will Klubnik be in the Heisman race? He's going to win the Heisman. I've been saying this forever. He's going to win the Heisman. I mean, I think he's the clear favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. I mean, I say I'm not going to explain this anymore. I'm going to explain this one more time when we come back, and then I'm never explaining this again. This will be the last time I explain this. You know, I'm going to have Ramon or Sam just record this, and I'll just play the recorded thing anytime anybody asks me this. But I'll explain one more time. I realize people join at different times, etc. I'll explain one more time why Cade Klubnik actually is the Heisman favorite, because I think it's fairly clear that he is. Wild Tip Tulip Road Rage, quick break.
Warm weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard as you're preparing meals for your family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're on your way to the beach or the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter for you. The Ingles floor department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. So take it from me, you'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
My personal joy is found in working outdoors.
It's where I go for a sense of peace, a sense of tranquility, just to get my head together.
I really, really fell in love with South Carolina's wildlife.
Having a life scholarship through the SC Education Lottery was huge. It gave me the opportunity to do what I love and help make that impact right here at home.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
Injured in a wreck and now the insurance company's ghosting you? Classic move. They're quick to collect premiums, but when you need help, disappeared. I'm Trey Mills with the Tramlin Mills Law Firm. We don't chase, we confront. You call us and we bring the pressure, loud and legal. What's up, QB? We're about to ring your bell. We may talk a little trash, but we back it up with action. Call 864-485-8585 or visit TramlinMills.com. Tramlin Mills, we don't do quiet.
Ready to ditch the dull and treat your skin to something better? Buff City Soap's body wash is plant-based, handcrafted daily, and packed with skin-loving ingredients. No harsh chemicals, just rich, luxurious lather that cleanses, hydrates, and leaves you smelling amazing. With scents like Good Morning Sunshine, Narcissus, Oatmeal and Honey, and Pink Sugar, there's a body wash for every mood. Shop Buff City Soap today in Seneca at Hartwell Village or the shops at Green Ridge in Greenville.
Contractors, we know what it takes to build something great. Long days, hard work, and the right materials. At Harbin Lumber Company, we're here to make sure you've got everything you need to get the job done. Since 1917, we've been your trusted partner in building dreams, from framing lumber to finished materials. When you work with Harbin, you're not just getting quality supplies, you're getting a team that's got your back. Visit one of our local lumber yards today, and let's build dreams together.
Welcome back to this year's football season. Continue your tailgate traditions Clemson style with Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. Order your tailgating trays such as nuggets, strips, mac and cheese, or delicious cookies. Herb and Carol Tyler want to make sure we're a part of your Clemson tradition. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Seneca at 864-886-9080 to prepare for game day. You can also order online at ilovechickfil-a.com or through the Chick-fil-A app.
Evan Cohen here. Whether you're locking in your home run picks or riding with your favorite golfers this summer, ESPN Bet is your sportsbook for all the action. Go from checking stats on your favorite teams and players to placing bets in just a few taps. Plus, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with promo code USL to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Need assistance with door and window projects? The Home Depot can help. From inspiration and materials to ordering and installation, our free Millwork virtual apron service can get you moving and doing. Plus, we speak Spanish too. Our associates can help you tackle complex jobs without you leaving the job site, saving you time and money. Call us at 1-833-HD-APRON or visit homedepot.com/MVA. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The only place in the Upstate to catch Atlanta Braves games is right here on The Roar.
Fly ball deep right!
Jansen, here's the 0-2.
Got him! Holy smokes!
We're 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Don't come around here no more. Don't come around here no more.
Walked up to the road rage. We are back. Let me tell you about Gilstrap Roofing. Gilstrap's been covering the Upstate for four generations. The most experienced, they have the best ratings and reviews. Gilstrap Roofing is the Upstate's go-to for quality roofs, storm damage, roof replacement, roof repair. They do it all. They work with experienced team of roofers who specialize in shingle roofs, metal roofs, flat roofs for residential, commercial, industrial customers. Gilstrap works alongside you and your insurance company to help streamline the claims process. If you're looking for a full-service roofing contractor with extensive experience who's fully licensed, bonded, and insured, look no further than Gilstrap Roofing. The Gilstrap difference, serving the Upstate since 1935, family owned and operated across four generations, A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, fully licensed, bonded, and insured, a full-service roofing contractor, extensive experience with hail damage and wind damage claims, GAF Master Elite Certified, gives the option to upgrade your warranty. Like and follow Gilstrap Roofing on Facebook and Instagram for a chance to win their monthly giveaway. I promise you won't want to miss out. Call today, 864-269-1232, 864-269-1232, or visit them online, GilstrapRoofing.com, GilstrapRoofing.com. You will 100% thank me later. You can get in. People, you know, the lines have been busy all week. Today, you can get in. 654-7067. You want to get in and join the conversation, you are welcome to. Let me answer some of these questions on the text line. Texture 843 asks, what are Texas's problems? I think Texas's questions, perhaps more than problems, start with the revamped offensive line. They lost four-fifths of their offensive line, and obviously they're starting a new quarterback. I think those are key elements. I think this. Goolsby, I think, is going to be incredible. I actually think that he's going to be a top-10 draft pick in short order, so I don't think that's going to be a big loss. We saw him play at the end of last year in injury situations, and I didn't see much drop-off, if any. And he's a bigger athletic dude, so I don't think they'd be hurt there. But I think the offensive line as a whole is one of their questions. Again, you know, when you're comparing teams, like I'm comparing Texas, for example, to Clemson and Penn State, the offensive line situation at both Penn State and Clemson appears better than the offensive line situation at Texas. So that's how I wind up with that type of order. Now, Texas has great talent at wide receiver. You know, if Wingo comes of age, which I think is going to happen, you know, look, he's a freak of nature. If he comes of age, you know, and they added a talented wide receiver, they added a talented tight end, I think that's going to help them. You know, defensively, they've lost a few pieces. I think their pass rush is going to be elite. I think you have two guys who are going to be double-digit sack guys. So I think their pass rush is going to be elite. You lose sort of a jack-of-all-trades in the secondary. That'll hurt them a little bit. But, you know, they don't have a lot of issues. That's why I'm three. You know, I think that I think that they're really going to be good. I think Arch Manning is really going to be good. I don't think he's going to be Heisman good. I think that's maybe a bridge too far. It's a different step. But I think he's going to be good. I've always expected he would play well. I'm not one of these people that says, well, we haven't seen Arch Manning play, so he can't play. I mean, or he's not going to be any good. No, I don't buy that. I think he's going to be quite good. I think that given the fact he's really a first-time starter, there are probably going to be a couple games that he plays less than in an ideal manner. You know, maybe lesser than an experienced quarterback might play. You know, and I think that will be the difference that ultimately distinguishes it. Because again, Clemson and Penn State both have experienced quarterbacks. No matter what you think of either guy, they both have experienced quarterbacks. On the Klubnik thing, and why he's the Heisman front runner in my mind. Well, look, I've said all along, I don't think it's Arch Manning, and I still don't think it's Arch Manning. Now, if Arch Manning goes to Ohio State and plays really well in beating Texas, then maybe he is at the front and maybe he stays at the front. I do think Texas is likely to win that game, but I don't think it's going to be because of Arch Manning. I think it's going to be because of their pass rush and their running game with Wisner and company. At least that's how I view it right now. But so I think there's a scenario where, you know, Texas could win that game. Arch Manning doesn't play great. And, you know, he sort of falls from grace a little bit in terms of that Heisman conversation. Whereas Cade Klubnik and Garrett Nussmeier are like virtually tied in terms of the odds for the next guy in the Heisman race. Klubnik has had all sorts of Heisman attention ever since he's been here. Even as an incoming freshman, he was getting Heisman love before the season began. And so he's been constantly in this conversation. Now, it hasn't played out until last year where he did become a little bit of a factor. And so I think he, again, is at the forefront of this conversation. Meanwhile, he's got a game at home against the other guy who now also happens to be somewhat injured. So, you know, I think that Clemson's a favorite in that game, I think, for a reason. You know, I think Clemson's going to win that football game. I don't think it'll be easy, but I think the Tigers are going to win that game. And I think that puts Cade Klubnik immediately to the front of the line. And from that point on, the people who just constantly talk about, you know, Dabo Swinney's not going to have any Heisman winners because he doesn't play him in the second half. They don't have stats. I don't agree with that at all. Okay, just, and like I said, I'm done explaining this after this point, but the reality is that Garrett Nussmeier said multiple times last year that he took his foot off the gas in the second half and he shouldn't have. This is not going to be the get Christopher Vezina ready for 2026 campaign. This is going to be the win the national championship with Cade Klubnik campaign. And so if Clemson's not up by 30 in the fourth quarter, you're not seeing Christopher Vezina, no matter what you think. It's just not going to be the way it is. This is going to be about winning these games. And this schedule is tougher than it was last year. So Cade is going to be in these games, okay? He's going to play these games. He's going to play the majority of these games. He's going to put up numbers. He has a terrific core of receivers. He has great chemistry with these receivers. His world didn't change. He has the same offensive coordinator, the same receivers, even with an addition. Or two, really, because Brown will be back. And then the offensive line stayed the same. The running room, back room is different, but different means better in this case because Phil Moffitt couldn't play the second half of the season. And so whatever Cade was doing, he was doing it without the benefit of any run game unless the run game came from him. So all those things favor Cade Klubnik. And mostly what I'm telling you is this award, the days of Paul Hornung are gone, okay? Lamar Jackson was a freak of nature, okay? RG3 was a freak of nature when he went at Baylor. But basically, you have to win. This is an award about winning. It's about being the quarterback of a team that wins. So if Cade Klubnik wins game one against LSU, he goes right to the front. Guess what? No matter what you think, he doesn't need to throw for 400 yards. after that every game. That's not what it takes. It takes wins. That's all he's going to need to do. If the wins mount and Clemson is at the forefront of this national conversation, he's winning the Heisman Trophy. He's not. There's not a Lamar Jackson in this mix. That was a one-off. You know. So what happened in the past has no bearing on this. If Cade Klubnik wins game one, he goes right to the front of the line. Sam?
I mean, I think the biggest thing for Cade compared to other quarterbacks is every single thing around him is pretty ideal, all right, things considered. So it's in his hands, really. Generally speaking, you're not off base in saying a lot of people are going to put a pedestal for whichever quarterback has the better performance in week one in that game. It's going to be the marquee game of that week, other than Ohio State, Texas up there with it. And you're going to know pretty quickly about both teams, I think, which one is better set up for the rest of the year. And I think probably Clemson, but it's going to be a close game. He's going to have an opportunity to show out on a national stage immediately. And as we know with the Heisman race, a lot of it is a hype machine as the year goes on. He can build that hype very, very quickly and get that platform set up within 1 week, whereas a lot of guys aren't necessarily going to have that same opportunity, starting with lesser non-con slates. So, I mean, from week one on, there's very obvious reasons to have him as the favorite.
And, you know, the big advantage for Cade in game one is his offensive line is much better than LSU's.
Cohesion.
Yeah. LSU's offensive line is a bit of a magical mystery tour right now, and I don't mean in a good way. As I've said, I had been hearing for a couple weeks that the interior offensive line at LSU has become a problem. Well, we already knew not having Campbell and Jones at tackle was a problem. And you have so you're going to have an inexperienced offensive line coming in here. They're going to have trouble with snap count getting off the ball against the dudes they're about to face. And Garrett Nussmeier, you know where he's going to be. He's not a guy. I mean, they're talking about him running more. That's seemingly out of the question now. That allegedly, if you miss this, allegedly Garrett Nussmeier has tendonitis. All right, and people are asking me about that and the impact of that. I can't answer. Okay, I don't know about the severity of the tendonitis. I know that somehow, somewhere, we're being misled on this deal because Garrett Nussmeier, the reporting initially on this, whatever you believe, I know there was some ACL talk, but it was fairly obvious he suffered some sort of injury. That's not what tendonitis is. Tendonitis is an extended playing issue, okay? It's a constant aggravation. It's not an injury.
Pain management.
Right.
It's going to be pain management.
And so
him.
You know, I don't know who's lying about this and who's telling the truth. I don't know. I mean, I know this. If he was helped off the field, it wasn't due to tendonitis. It was due to something else. And, you know, maybe this is what they want to, how they want to frame it. I'm not sure. So I'm not sure we're getting the whole honest truth in terms of what Nussmeier's injury is. But whatever it is, with the game approaching, it's less than good. I mean, you don't want Khalil Barnes injured, you know. But whatever Nussmeier's situation is, it's less than good, particularly given the situation that we just described, that you're going to have what I think is going to be a pretty dominant Clemson defensive front with a snap count advantage in all the noise at Clemson against an offensive line at LSU that's really inexperienced, that hasn't faced this type of pressure before. And I think that's a problem. And again, Clemson knows where Garrett Nussmeier is going to be, even more so now. Whatever his issue is, okay, even more so. There was talk about a plan. The suggestion was, Chris Blair told us this, the LSU play-by-play guy, that they thought there were times last year in zone read that Nussmeier had an easy 15 or 20 yards and he didn't take it. They want him to take that this year. Well, just guessing on whatever happened to him and what they're saying, that may be out the window now. And again, from a pass rush standpoint, Clemson knows where Garrett Nussmeier is going to be. You know, he's going to be in the pocket. They know where he's going to be. And if that offensive line can't handle the man-to-man matchups up front, I don't care if Garrett Nussmeier is the greatest quarterback of all time. It won't matter. It won't matter. He will be at a massive competitive disadvantage, and I think that's going to be the case. So my belief is that Clemson wins this game, and if that matchup up front turns ugly, the game could actually have a little wider margin than most people expect. And I do think that's – I've said all along – that's where the problem lies for LSU. As we approach the game, I think it's an even bigger problem. Now – The one thing I will say, the flip side is the good news coming out of LSU's camp for them is that their defensive front appears to be better than people thought. I mean, you know, their defensive tackle situation appears better. Their defensive end situation appears better. Their depth appears better. So, you know, maybe that's a little bit of the equalizer. Maybe that LSU defensive front is better than we thought. So, you know, a little bit of maybe an equalizer there. All right, we'll take a quick break. Waltip, Tulip, Road Rage. I know there's some other questions. I've been asked about how can Penn State beat Ohio State on the road. That's a fair question. We'll answer that more when we get back. Quick break.
Hello, Medicare recipients and Roar listeners. Gary Mahaffey here with Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. This time of year, most of us are trying to work in vacation, lamenting about our Braves, and anticipating a huge college year out of the Tigers, Gamecocks, and Dawgs. The last thing we want to think about is Medicare, and I get it. I will encourage you, however, to find at least a few minutes to think about your health care situation. For instance, if you already have Medicare, do you know if you have the best plan for your individual needs? If Medicare is just around the bend for you as a turning 65 person or through disability, are you up on your responsibilities here? Do you have a good agent or any agent at all? If you see yourself in any of these scenarios, please give us a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484. And remember, all of my services come at no cost to you. And have a great summer.
Look no further than Clemson Hills RV Club as your RV destination this football season. With breathtaking mountain views and 30 acres of creeks and trails, Clemson Hills RV Club offers full hookup and 50-amp service for your RV all season long. A short drive to campus, plus they're on the stadium side as well. The owners, Todd and Mandy, look forward to seeing you this season. Find out more at ClemsonHillsRVClub.com. That's ClemsonHillsRVClub.com. Relax and have a great time at Clemson Hills RV Club. Go Tigers!
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at NewtonScottSC.com.
Have you considered the legacy you'll leave behind for your family? The staff at Green Law Firm is here to help you create a legacy you'll be proud of. The best time to plan for the future is now. Whether it's a straightforward will, power of attorney, family trust, or another option, David Green is here to guide you in choosing the right path for you and your loved ones. Call today 864-271-7940 or visit greenlaw.legal so he can start planning your family's legacy together.
Turn any day into a special occasion when you give her fine jewelry from Turner's Jewelers. Our experts will help you find a dazzling necklace, sparkling earrings, or a stunning bracelet. You know what she loves better than anyone. Turner's can customize a unique piece crafted flawlessly to show your love story. And when it's time to look for engagement or wedding rings, you can count on Turner's Jewelers to make the perfect day even better. Dream up a magical gift at turnersjewelers.com or visit Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Shopping Center in Seneca.
It's bow time. Hurry into Bojangles for two scratch-made sizzling sausage biscuits for just $4. One bite and you'll want breakfast for dinner. Good thing we serve savory sausage biscuits all day. But this 2-for-4 deal won't last forever. It's bow time.
Discover the best-kept golf and dining secret located in Oconee County off I-85 at Exit 1. Chickasaw Point, with breathtaking golf on the hills course to scrumptious dining at Overlook Restaurant and Bar. It's unlike any golf course you've played anywhere in the upstate. Reserve Overlook Restaurant for a meeting, wedding, birthday, or anniversary. Enjoy lunch and dinner selections from executive chef Amanda Lewis. For Overlook, go to ChickasawPoint.com, and for golf, ChickasawPointGolf.com.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Get your questions in daily on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line at 654-ROAR. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
When you wake up in the morning and the light
get up out of bed.
You know, the other thing I was talking to Sam about during the break is that, you know, it's a bookend situation for Cade. He's got to play well and win the first game, and he's got to play well and win the last game. And the rest of it will take care of itself. If he does those things, he's winning the Heisman Trophy. If he plays well against LSU, plays well against South Carolina, Clemson beats those two SEC powers, because right now that's what they both are. Clemson beats those two teams, he's winning the Heisman Trophy. It's just that simple. There's not a lot of threats in the middle. I know there's Louisville on Friday night, and I know we all have to live in fear of Louisville. I'm not going to be one of those people because I think Miller Moss freaking sucks, and so I'm not going to be one of those people. You know, I think Louisville has a great run game. We saw that last year with Brown and Watson. Brown is tremendous. I think that run game is tremendous. That's certainly going to help Sucke Miller Moss. But at the end of the day, he's still a Keaton Slovis comp guy. And I hated Slovis, and I hate Moss. And he has a pedestrian arm, and that's being kind. This is not Tyler Shuck. Tyler Shuck had a round one NFL arm, as I said, a year ago before the year. And I think he proved that. And he's going to start for the Saints. Tyler Shuck's going to start for the Saints. Miller Moss is never starting for anybody in the National Football League, even if they have a rash of injuries. Okay, he's not being drafted. He just isn't. So, you know, the Miller Moss thing, you know, it's amazing, Sam. This is how this works. Galen and Robert will come right to you. It's amazing how this works. It's true in basketball. It's true in football. These coaches will play somebody, and the guy plays well against them in one game, and they think that that's the rule. And this is Thomas Castellanos at Florida State. Why is Thomas Castellanos at Florida State? Oh, yeah, there's the Milzahn thing, but that's not it. It's that Thomas Castellanos' two best games of his career came against Florida State. That's how Castellanos winds up at Florida State. We've seen it in basketball all the time. We've seen it right here. Brad Brownell has brought in guys that he's seen play well. Now, for the most part, the guys he's seen play well translated to playing well at Clemson. But it's not necessarily – what happened here is the one good game Miller Moss played in his career was against Louisville, where he threw six touchdowns in a bowl game. And if you actually watch that game, he basically threw six punts against hideous Louisville man coverage that were thrown like 40 yards up in the air, could have been fair caught by anybody, and USC receivers caught them all. And so somehow Jeff Brohm, who actually is sort of a quarterback genius, I don't know how he didn't recognize that Miller Moss actually sucks. He just, his defense was hideous, and he allowed for that. Because Moss never did this against anybody else. That's why he's not quarterbacking at USC. You know, and so I don't know. When I look at that team, Sam, plus it's a little bit of a revenge spot now for Clemson. I think Clemson will go up there and win. I just don't think Miller Moss is beating Clemson. And more than that, Sam, even though I love this running back room, they are at Pitt. They're at Miami. I don't know the order of these games, but they're at Pitt. They're at Miami, and they're at SMU. I don't think they're winning any of those games because I think they're going to be at a distinct quarterback disadvantage. And that's even giving Brohm credit for being a genius and a quarterback guru and getting the best out of Miller Moss. I do think that. I do think the pig will get plenty of lipstick. And I think Miller Moss will look way more competent than he actually is under Jeff Brohm. That much I buy. But at the end of the day, you still have to have a degree of talent, and I just don't think he does. Whereas when he goes up against Jennings or even Carson Beck, those guys have a degree of talent.
I was pretty surprised as a Purdue guy seeing that he went with Moss, because it kind of jumps away from the typical quarterback that the last 5 or 6 years he's been really successful with, yeah, with turning Aiden O'Connell into a really good quarterback. Aiden O'Connell had a really strong arm. Tyler Shuck, really raw at times, really strong arm, and can move better than people give him credit for. Even David Blau had a really strong arm while he was at Purdue.
Yeah,
so
Purdue, yeah.
Jumping away from that and going to Miller Moss, who really doesn't, is kind of odd to me. And I trust Jeff Brohm in the same sense that you do, that he is going to elevate whatever they give him. But if I had to be if I were to be scared of this Louisville team, which if you're scared of them against Clemson, you're more scared of the fact that it's a Friday night 8 o'clock game on the road, which scares people. I would have been more scared by just about any other QB acquisition that Brohm could have made over Moss.
You know what? If you had Tyler Shuck for one more year,
I would really be all good.
I'd be all over Louisville
at age 28, $8 million.
Right. It'd be Clemson versus Louisville for the title. I would be all over that, and I think they'd win all those road games. You just don't have that, and I just do not trust Miller Moss. I just don't think he has the physical ability. And at some point, you know, like I said, you can only cover that up to a certain degree. At some point, you know, these games come down the stretch, and you know, they're going to have Beck, or they're going to have Jennings, you know, or they're going to have Holstein, and you're going to have Miller Moss, and that those are not the same thing. They just aren't. No matter how great a coach you are, you know. Again, I go to the Liza Minnelli thing. I saw this makeup artist to the star one time allegedly brought in to work on Liza Minnelli, and he took one look at her and he said, to her face, he said, "What do you want from me? I'm not God." Okay, it's sort of the same thing here. As good as Rahm is, I just don't think he can wholly fix Miller Moss. You know, again, over the course of the regular season, yeah, at SMU, at Miami, at Pittsburgh, I'm just not so sure about
his
that.
Ceiling is much, much lower than the other quarterbacks he could have gone
exactly.
about.
Exactly. And I think that's the dilemma. He just did not get an adequate guy in my mind to fill that position for Louisville to reach the heights that this team potentially could have. Not to mention, Dakari Collins is still playing wide receiver for them. You know, he can block. You know, Chris Bell's a little bit of a wild card. You know, he makes some explosive plays.
He's going to get a lot of targets.
Yeah, he's going to get some targets. But, you know, he may have to be in the fair catch business because his targets are going to come from Miller Moss. You know, Bell will be wide open 55 yards downfield, and Moss will be throwing at 40. So, and then Brahm's not going to understand why this stuff that he saw at USC didn't work.
Try and draw the PI underthrow,
that's right.
Carson Wentz special.
That's exactly right.
If you're Bell.
Carson Wentz special. Galen and Robert. Galen, how are you, Galen? Good to have you.
Hey, Walt. Happy Friday, man.
Same to you, Galen. Thank you for getting in.
Hey, me and you are on the same page with a lot of stuff. I'm a Gamecock fan, and I'm one of those that love how you call it like you see it. And I hope I can get through this. I worked really hard yesterday, so my brain's kind of mad. Yeah, I do it like two times a month. It should be every day, but I just don't have it anymore. But like I said, we're on the same page about everything, you know, the ghost runner and all that crap. Yep. And I know I agree with you. Wins decide the Heisman Trophy. But what I was wanting to ask you, see if we agree on, is Klubnik the second best quarterback in the state of South Carolina?
Maybe. I mean, I think from a draft standpoint, if you ask me today how the NFL will evaluate it, I think Lenora Sellers will be drafted higher than Kate Klubnik. I don't think Lenora Sellers is going to win the Heisman at South Carolina with that schedule, but I'm not ruling it out, first of all. But more than that, I think he's live to potentially be the number one overall pick in the draft. You know, so look, I have tremendous respect for Lenora Sellers. I think he's a freak of nature. I think he works hard. I know he spent a lot of time with Ramon Robinson the offseason. That shows me his work ethic. I think the people who think, you know, he's just a glorified runner, which I get, I think that's total nonsense. I mean, he completed 65% of his throws in his first year as a starter with a mid-offensive line and suspect receiving group. You know, where he had to do a lot of things on his own. I mean, I think that's unbelievable. And again, this is a guy who on the move can throw it 75 yards. He also can layer the ball. Not everything is a missile coming out of his hands. And I think it's just dumb to think that year two, that he's not going to show progress. Further, I think this is the year that Nicholas Harbor emerges.
I certainly hope so. Like I said, I am a Gamecock. And one other thing, too, with being a Gamecock fan, during baseball season, I've got the Gamecocks on my phone, but on my Bluetooth speaker,
yeah,
I've got Don and Quawk because I just love how they call baseball games.
Yeah, and Bob Mahoney.
Last thing.
Yep.
Yeah, and Bob. Oh, yeah, the stories that Bob has.
Yeah.
Did he play pro ball?
You know, he played, but he was a star at Clemson.
Yes, he was. Yeah. Those 4 years, he's got stories that he will never run out of. You don't hear him twice.
Yeah, he's
and they're amazing.
Yeah, all three of those gentlemen are absolutely tremendous. it's their passion. Let me ask you, they're all great. Yep, 100%. Don,
one last
Bob,
thing,
Kwok, all incredible.
Oh, they call it like old fashioned baseball. Yep. You know that I remember back in the late 60s, 70s. But let me ask one thing: Doug Flutie, he won the Heisman, correct?
He did.
Was it off of that one pass against Miami, or?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Because their record was not that good.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was good. They had a good year.
Yeah, it was 100% off that one pass against Miami, and I believe that pass was thrown to Phelan in the end zone.
Phelan in the end zone.
Yep, and Flutie probably put that ball.
Who was he up against?
That throw was probably 65 yards in the air, and he was under duress, and he was rolling right, as I remember, and sort of had to throw across his body a little bit. It was a pretty impressive throw for a little dude in Doug Flutie, I think that, and we often see that. You know, what they call that Galen is the Heisman moment. You know, Reggie Bush had his Heisman moment against like Nevada or something, and he was a wrongful winner of the award. Obviously, Vince Young should have won the award that year, but
he should have.
That's the way it goes.
Well, let me ask you this: Who, if you can look, who was in second and third place for the Heisman that year? I can't remember. And I can't look at it now, but I'm going, I thought you would agree with me that was the one play that won him the Heisman.
Yeah, it did. It did. I'm trying to remember who finished second.
There must not have been that many people, that had an outstanding,
It was still Boston College, and Flutie certainly elevated Boston College. I mean, he elevated the whole program. He elevated the whole fan base. I mean, from a historical standpoint, he was probably deserving. I mean, there have been far less deserving Heisman winners than Doug Flutie. I mean, Doug Flutie played pro football for a long time.
No.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not taking it away from him at all. I'm not at all. So, and Tebow, I know he won the Heisman. He couldn't really throw the ball, but he's the one that got Denver in the playoffs for the first time in a long time with that pass. I think it was against the Raiders.
Yeah, that's true.
Right down the middle field, about 30 yards.
Sports shining moment right there, including his baseball career, which was an abomination.
Yep. I think so.
Yep, thank you, Galen.
All right, great talking to you.
Same here.
Keith Byers was number two, for what it's worth.
Keith Byers, how about that?
The Miami's Ohio State quarterback was Bernie Kosar.
Yeah, and obviously Bernie Kosar was a really good college quarterback. Byers was an Ohio State running back, fullback, and so Byers finished second that year, which further explains why Flutie won the award. Flutie probably deserved to win the award just based on that play. That's one of your all-time Heisman moment plays. It's one of the greatest plays in college football history.
He got 678 first-place votes, and Byers got 87.
Yeah.
So it was a runaway.
It was a runaway, yeah. I would have to think about the least. Robert, I'm going to come to you after the break because I don't want to cut you short. I'm trying to think of who I would say is the least deserving Heisman winner of all time. Let me look. Least deserving of all time. That's hard. There's so many guys. Scrolling through a lot of history, a lot of historical names. The great Billy Cannon in 1959. He certainly had his Heisman moment with one of the greatest returns and punt returns in college football history. Ernie Davis, Terry Baker, the Oregon State quarterback, the Raj of the Dodger Staubach, Mike Garrett, great football player, terrible SID.
Crouch?
Crouch was suspect for sure. Pat Sullivan won in 1971 with Auburn. He was probably deserving. Johnny Rogers in Nebraska, 72. He was very deserving. Billy Sims was deserving. Mike Rozier, Doug Flutie, Bo Jackson, Vinny Testaverde. Who else? My guy! 1992, Gino Toretta.
I knew you'd find that one.
Yeah, Gino Toretta. I mean, I had Gino Toretta on the show, You probably don't know this, Sam, but I have never heard anybody like Gino Toretta. Gino Toretta actually thought that he was by far the best Heisman Trophy winner of all time. He thought he deserved the award. I never heard anybody talk about Gino Toretta like Gino Toretta, because Gino Toretta was basically a semi-scrub.
Came second in Gino's ear?
Yeah, I can't even think of it. Oh, he barely, what did he get? Like, he got like 50% of the vote. That was 1992. Who finished second in 92? That's a long time ago.
Marshall Faulk.
Oh, see, yeah.
And then Garrison Hurst.
Yeah, So Gino Toretta never should have won the Heisman Trophy, and that was never more obvious than the day I had him on the show. I mean, we talked about him a lot afterward.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.